Good morning, Grace. Good morning, Grace Spanish. It's a joy seeing all of you here this morning. Remember, after service, we have food, shared food. If you didn't bring any food, don't worry. There's a pot of beans, and they're going to put more water. So the more people there are, the more water we're going to add. Okay, so don't leave. Please open your Bible to Ephesians 4. And stand up. If you don't have the devotional book, your Transforming Grace, you could pick, raise your hand. Or if you haven't received one, or you forgot them, we'll give you another one again. But again, there's a devotional. 3 weeks more of in this study, and we could raise your hand if you need one of those, so that you could keep on studying. Ephesians 4. This morning we're going to see chapter 4 and parts of chapter 5, to which is going to be a big challenge, and we're going to have to work a lot, much harder. You following and me speaking here, sharing what the Lord has instructed me through this passage. Next week we're going to go to chapter 6 and talk over the armor of God. And that's for next week. And the last week we're going to dedicate it towards the family. That will be in 2 weeks. But let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, the word of God says, I before the presence of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the call with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, let's go to chapter 4 again. Let's skip to 17. We're going to skip couple of verses. That's why I asked you beforehand to read everything, because we don't have time. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. And he keeps on speaking, and let's jump to verse 22. That puts you off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your wrath, nor give place for the devil to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that may impact grace to the heaven hearers. And do not give greed to the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be a kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even the God in Christ forgave you, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitted, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, not be partakers with them. For you are once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Let's pray. Take 10 seconds to ask God to open your heart this morning. Lord, this morning we want to ask you that you speak to us through your word. It's many areas we ask you for the Holy Spirit to show us, teach us what we personally need to do. Teach us, Lord, we have invited you this morning through the worship. Now we invite you that through your word you talk to us, you teach us, instruct us. Show us to your path. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. This morning, we want to talk over the conduct, the behavior of Christ. Think of this question. What kind of concept do the people have of the church? Without a doubt, if you ask people this question, they will first not understand the concept of the church because there's a church of this, and this class. It is hard for them to understand what church is. As we have spoken, church are the ones that have believed in Christ, the ones that have given their lives to Christ. And we have been studying the book Ephesians, where it teaches us who the church is. And as we've said, there are those who have been rescued from the blood of Christ. They are those who have been accepted before God, who have been saved through the faith in Him. They are those who have been predestined to be adopted as a kid, as a child. They are those who have really said, we believe in Christ as our Savior, Lord and Savior. This is a church. And this morning, if you have not given that step to receiving Christ, you don't maintain, it's going to kind of be hard to understand this, because in reality, God is talking to the church, saying this is the kind of behavior that you must have. And if you don't believe in Christ by faith, you're going to believe that these are a series of rules that must be fulfilled to be saved. But that's not what the verse says. If you're Christian, maybe we'll study this topic. You must understand that what the Bible teaches us that we should practice comes through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Not through your own. You're going to turn to the legalism, because you're going to want to keep your everything through your own strengths, and you're going to be frustrated. And you're going to come to the point where you won't be able to keep all those things that God asks of you. Why? Because it's Christ who works in our lives to live a Christian life. It's through the Holy Spirit that produces a change in our lives that helps us do the will of God. He gives us the want and the doing to do His will. Maybe at this point, chapters, verse 1 through 4 talks about He calls us holy, people appointed to do the work of God. He has showed us what you are in Christ. This is the doctrine that Christ gives us. And now He's going to teach us, chapter 4, 5, and 6, the practice that we must show in our lives. And it's important. Paul says, chooses three chapters to talk to us over who we are in Christ, the doctrine, because it shows us how we should walk and live as we understand our position in Christ. What He has taught us, what we believe is the foundation of our practice. If we don't have this foundation, then we first won't be able to do what God calls us to do. What you believe is fundamental to see how you will live your life. And this is very important, because if you don't understand what you believe in, that's what Paul said in chapter 3, then you are going to depend on what I call the theology of the bumper sticker theology. It sounds kind of rare. I like it more in English, bumper sticker theology. But one sees that those bumper stickers and all, like, oh, forgiven, oh, not perfect, oh, yes, that is. And we live in a world with that type of theology because we don't understand who we are in Christ. If we don't understand the basis and the foundation, we're going to live with the synthesis that what people put on Facebook, oh yeah, that's the truth. Or whatever thing that anybody else says. If you don't understand what you are in Christ through the Word of God, then you're going to live frustrated because you're gonna follow through what other people show, that practical theology. So let's see what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1. There's, just as you were called in hope of your calling. The vocation is a new way of living. This life that we have studied for 3 weeks already, but the key word that we find here is endeavor. See verse, what does it mean to be endeavored? It's a conduct that we should live. What kind of behavior does a church? Paul teaches us that we must be a church of two things. First, a united church, and second, a church pure, a pure church. So let's see those two important characteristics. First, let's see the united church. The first verse, 1 through 3, shows us the unity that we must have as a church. Somebody asked me, that was from India, to the spiritual leader, Gandhi, and asked him, what is the biggest impediment in the Christianity in India? And he responded with the following, the Christians. He saw something on the Christians that showed the lack of unity. The unity of the church is a test that we are of Christ. St. Paul says in verse 3, it says, endeavor means to force ourselves to have that unity in the Spirit. What are those characteristics of a united church? Verse 1 and 3 say which they are. And let's not dedicate, we're not going to dedicate that much time of it, but first, humility. Let's not think superior to others. Number 2, meekness. Our strengths and weaknesses are under control. Patience. Be able to support each other from the things that we don't like, but in love. Number 4, patience. To which is the absence of not only any problems, but as well is the peace of the Lord that governs the peace is the bonding that maintains the unity of the church. Those are the characteristics of the unity of the church in Christ. The base, the fundamentals, the foundations of the unity are in verses 4 through 6. One body, it says we are one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in hope, in one hope of your calling, the foundation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That is the foundation of the unity. But St. Paul also explains, verse 7, that diversity that there is in the body of Christ. We are not only, Not only has he given us different gifts, but he has given different people different positions to help us grow as a church. And that's what God explains that to us in verse 3, that the church grows united. You cannot grow healthy without the church. So as a boy cannot grow without his mom. You need the church. We need the church. Let me tell you. We need the church. We grow in unity. Verse 3 says that we grow until we get to unity, the unity of faith. Yes, that means that we'll get to be mature people, people that grow spiritually. And before I go on, this concept of unity, let's look at this video on the body that St. Paul uses to compare. Let's see this video that talks about the function of the body. There is nothing more familiar, nor more mysterious, more fascinating in its function, marvelous in its characteristics, exquisite in its sense, and surprising its capacity of comprehension, and a fantastical voyage, we will see the human body, our instruments, our motors, infrastructures, and circular systems with a blink of an eye, the respiration, today is a day where we will see the human structure. The incredible human machine. This is what we are. Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and a couple of other elements that will but all these substances, chemical substances, come together. There are more than 6 million bodies that living in the planet, and each one of us are make up of 100 million of cells. There is actually no person alike. Cells, senses, muscles, bones, heart, brain, all of must maintain an effort to able to wake us up. Wow. All that, let's see how complex the body is, but apart from it says it's a machine, I think, in design of the body as a way, as a spectacular way, how it needs of all those processes and for us to grow. St. Paul says in verse 13, it says, if the church needs to grow united, we are that spiritual body. I look at verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's how we grow spiritually. We spiritually grow united. That's why in Great Spanish, we give an emphasis to those characteristics that we need to have for each one of us, because we want to grow together and united in the Church of Christ. The Church must be united. That's what St. Paul says. Let's look at verse 17. The Church must be a pure Church. St. Paul begins saying this, how one has to behave. How is it that pure? Verse 17 and through 19 says that they must leave the old ways of living. Remember how we have talked about how we are dead spiritually? Now we're alive spiritually. St. Paul says, this I say, that we should leave the old ways. And Paul uses the example of old clothes to demonstrate the reality that's in us. Our new clothes were washed for a new religion that a person started. The person would take off their old clothes and put on new clothes, and they would throw away the old clothes. And Paul said in those verses that the believer does not live like back in the days, like Gentiles who do not know Christ. Those are old clothes, have been thrown away. Now you have new clothes. Live in a different spiritual way than before. How does that person live? First, a person who has been born again, the person that has that new spiritual life and first applies the realities of the new life. Which are those realities? There are three or four of them. First, verse 21, let's see what it says. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And first of all, first reality that we live in a truth, in a reality with God, in accordance with the word of God. Number two, verse 22, that the old man which grown corrupt, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness. And second place, we have to put the past in the past, that word. In other words, it says renovated are not mandates. In the original Bible, how it was written, they are not mandates. They are. It's in the infinitive form, although it shows about reality that was there. There are implications, but it's a reality in our life. We live in a reality of God. We should renew. We should. And he puts off the old ways. And verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's renew our mind. This says that as we learn the word of God, putting it in our hearts, we are refreshing our minds of what we must be learning and taking out the things that are bad and again putting the good things in our life. It's like when you're on the internet, what you do in English called refresh is what happens. The page is updated with new information. So what do you do with the God? So verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God. That means that we manifest the new life in Christ. We manifest it in the way we live. And verse 25 and on, we see that we must eliminate the practices of the old life. What are those? Are you ready for the list? We must eliminate these things that were part of our previous life that are not part of our life. Verse 24:5. Let's read with me. Therefore, putting away lying, we need to put away the lies. The lies come from the Satan. The truth comes from the Lord. We need to talk the truth to each other because we are one body. And the lies do bad to all of us. Number 2, verse 26 and 27. The life, the angriness, angriness is not sin, but when it's let it go, can be destructive and lead to a sinful life. Satan says here that he has an opportunity to enter our lives and destroy our lives if we let him, if we let the angriness win us over. Verse 28, steal. Stealing is taking something that belongs to somebody else, that person has won with it, their efforts. So it could be active or passive. Active, we take it away from somebody. And passive is when we are lazy, we don't work, or we work a little bit, and we don't give the needy. And St. Paul says that if anybody does not want to work, then he should not eat. And he's talking to the believers. Stealing. Number 4. Words. Verse 28 and 29. Corrupt words. You know what corrupt words are? Have you ever heard about something that's rotten? As example, for example, an egg. what kind of ugly odor it gives out. The Christian cannot say rotten words. He has been transformed as a new heart, and when they say bad words, they smell bad. They're good for nothing. It comes out from a person that is spiritually dead and not spiritually alive. And he invites us to use words that edify, that help, that words that are all the words that he uses are for good. And he says to take out the bitterness, which is with anger, and every other malice. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we have that bitterness in our hearts, the Spirit gets saddened, and we do not honor the Lord. It says we must take out the bitterness out of us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. What else shall we take out of our lives? Verse 3 says, fornication and any uncleanness or covetousness, let us not even be named among you as if fitting for saints. Another thing he says, the fornication, to which is any relationship outside of the marriage. The word that is used for fornication is porneia. You know what word comes out of that? Porneia, the pornography. And pornography, any type of fornication comes with pornography. And it is not for those who have been born again and have the new life in Christ. Verse 3 says, avarice. And it says it in a different context. It says it because the love to other things or people that is not something that is us is the avarice. Desiring somebody or something that is not ours is avarice. And that's a lot of times when it happens in the sexual life. These things, Paul says, should not be part of us because it does not go for the saints. God does not want this for us, so we must take all these things out. Let's see verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What he's saying is, the Christian does not live this way. He takes all of these things out of his life. Why? Because these practices do not come from a person that has been changed. It comes from a person that has been dead spiritually. But if you are not like that, you are different. These practices are from the people that have not known Christ and live in a disobedience to God. So now it says, wow, this is so hard to hear Paul say this to the church, but the context to which they have lived, it was a world very corrupt. Think of our environment. I mean, we don't see anything different. This was happening in the context where Paul was writing this letter. The people are involved in these things, and now knowing Christ, he was like, no, you have taken the old clothes off and have placed the new clothes now. I was thinking, why would he say this or use this? When your clothes are dirty, you take it off and you put your new clothes. So the Christian that is changed has new clothes and has no need to put on the dirty clothes. There's no need for that. Or just like the butterfly, although the analogy is a little bit different, more complex. You know that the butterfly begins as a what? As a worm. He has a color, but when he transforms himself into a butterfly, what happens? He turns into something beautiful. I mean, I was reading that when it turns into a butterfly, it takes a little bit of practice for them to learn how to fly. So when God changes us, we aren't nothing but just worms. God has brought us here to be saints, to live a new life. And although it takes us some work, we eventually learn how to fly and learn how to live the word of God. And the things that we have seen that St. Paul says are not parts of our lives anymore. We don't live that way anymore. And let's see chapter 5, verse 1. This is the positive things. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We must follow the example of God. We should be like God's children of light. The word imitators means to copy, to imitate God. My daughter likes to imitate me, especially when I run. What she does is she likes to put on her shirts, her running shorts, her shirt, and then she gets her glasses because I put glasses on. And she puts on her little satchel because I put on a satchel, and she's ready to imitate me. The problem is that she can't run. She starts to run and then she's tired after. So we should imitate the Lord. The good thing is that you have all the tools to imitate the Lord. You have all the tools to live the way God asks us. You don't have to be limited. God has given you the power to live for Him and to imitate Him. What kind of example shall we set? Follow the example of the Lord. If we go to verse 32, says that we should be benign just as God is benign. We should be merciful as God is merciful. We should forgive as God forgives. We should show love as God shows love. Let's love like Christ. Love is everything the opposite of the past way we lived. The life in Christ is altruistic because God is love. The love of God is sacrificed. God sacrificed everything for us. The church, our church, shows His love every day. Not only when we're having our potluck. He shows it when we're out of church, out of the building. He shows His love. I remember that the problem of the Christians was the Christians. Hopefully it's not the case in our church. That we prove that this is not true. That we're imitators of God and being benign, forgiving, showing love.
Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 7. Therefore, verse 6 and 7 also says, let not be partakers with them. For you are once darkness. What does it say? Darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are not darkness anymore.
We have distinguished ourselves in the way we live, morally pure. That, and the fruit of Spirit is in our lives as Son of God shine upon everyone else. But
verse 14, therefore to not be partaken with them, because it's for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret.
He says we should not participate in things without a purpose that the people who do not know Christ do. That is not our calling, our life. When Ephesians not only shows the truth, but the darknesses are also rebuked through our life. Our behavior should be good enough to rebuke the bad things that we see in this world. If they cannot see that, then we must do some changes.
St. Paul says
that we should not participate or partake in these things.
Verse 13, but all things that are exposed and made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Let's go to chapter 14. St. Paul finishes exhorting them this. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
God is calling this you this morning, or is calling the dead. If you don't know Christ, He is calling you to experiment a new life, a different life. He wants you to have that different life transformed that lives for Christ. And if you are a Christian this morning, but are seeing this list and they're like, wow, there's so many things that I haven't gotten rid of, then He is inviting you as well for you to resurrect into a new life, for your life to not follow that. And you're a new person now that lives in accordance with God. That you're taking the old practices out of your life and follow the example of your Father, God. It says, the day will come when we can see the glory of the Son of Man. And we must imitate Him.
The day of glory will come. Do not sleep more.
Lord, thank you this morning for your word. We ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. We ask that you help us live as Son of God. That the people that know us, they could see something different in us, a transformation that you have given us through Christ. They could see that we are benign, merciful, forgivers, lovers of your word. That your love could flow through our lives. Lord, this morning, if our hearts are surrounded by all these things, I ask that you call us, talk to us, and help us get rid of those and live for you. To be children of the light. You desire a united church, but you also desire a pure church that glorifies you as a body. And we ask this morning for this to be a reality in Grace Spanish. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that has not given their lives to Christ, we ask that you touch them. I want to give this invitation to you who have not given your life to Christ, who do not know Christ, who have not been transformed. Because this morning, say, God, I recognize this morning that I cannot save myself. I recognize that Christ is the only person that can save me. I repent of my sins. I want to be transformed by you. I want to be a new person. I want to live here forward with the power that you give me in Christ. And if you're one of those people, I invite you to, after service, to get close to the back of the church so we could talk more on this theme. Lord, thank you once more for your word. In Jesus' name.